Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Like sand through the hourglass, so are the days of our own. This is Georgia Wrestling Now, your host from the award-winning WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, Mr. Jonathan Williams.
Yes, and Matt Hankins, we of course have a lot to discuss tonight. And I know I've said it for the past few weeks in a row, and I've been incorrect, but I think tonight is actually the night that at midnight, you can vote for WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. Once again, as Best Local Blog and Creative Loafing's Best of Atlanta. You can vote for Georgia Wrestling Now as Best Radio Show. You can vote for many different things that we qualify for. And it starts tonight at midnight through next Monday under the Cityscape section when you go to clatl.com/bestofatl. So I apologize for pumping it the past few weeks. I just couldn't remember where we fit into their odd assortment of categories. But there it is. So please vote. Make it a repeat for WrestlingWithPopCulture.com and maybe even get Georgia Wrestling Now some votes for Best Radio Show or whatever the category may be. But that being said, where do we even start?
Oh, I think we know where we start, Jonathan Williams. You were at the epicenter.
I was there. I walked in on something I didn't even know was going on. I arrived about 45 minutes after the advertised start time of Pro Wrestling Resurrection's Heat Wave yesterday and quickly realized that the show was just starting. I hadn't missed anything. The Rock and Roll Models, Matt Sells, Johnny Danger, and Joey Kidman were in the ring, and they were basically just getting the show started and biding time, because apparently there had been some backstage shenanigans, but I didn't realize that until about halfway through the show. But even aside from that, I think it was probably the best show PWR has ever done, and as we've talked about previously here on Georgia Wrestling Now, it seems like that promotion, when faced with adversity, it is a good thing for them. They somehow find a way to improve their product when bad things happen. But
they had about as much adversity as you can have.
Yes.
Yesterday, I mean, yep. That thing is just. I guess the writing was kind of always on the wall. We talked about that whole OSWA thing here at length, and I do mean at length, and then everybody just kind of let it go, and they decided that they were who they were, and as long as they didn't raise a rabble, then that would just kind of be it. But I'll be damned if they didn't decide yesterday to make a name for themselves in the worst way. Now, I don't know if the actions of Chris Damian and his goon squad represent OSWA, but if I were running OSWA, I think I would have made that clear that they didn't, which is something they haven't done. But what happened yesterday is absolutely, I'm going to use the term, reprehensible. I just think that to show up, and because you're not a fan of how things are going to play out, you take your ball and the fucking sound system and go home is just dirty poo. I don't know all the details or all the schematics, but I know what ultimately, like you said, happened. And to leave out in front of the crowd so that everybody who came to see you sees you leave, so you're not only, you're not going to work, but you don't want other people to even see this go on, it's just a bad thing to do.
Yeah. Well, I agree. Like I said, I've heard a lot of stings. I've talked to a few people, but I'm going to just kind of talk about what I saw, which was the show started with a match that we've talked about quite a bit on this show, Brian Blaze defending his United States title against Marco, his fraternity brother. And it was a great match. It was a great match.
Yeah, almost for two-thirds of it, it was a great match. I'm sure somebody is not too happy about it.
Well, it was great in the sense that it seems like the fraternity had worked their differences out, and Marco got a pretty easy victory. It looked like it was probably intentional. Blaze kind of laid down for him. But to his surprise, Kevin Blue was announced as his first challenger, and Kevin Blue is now the U.S. champion. And I believe it was right after that match that it was announced that the PWR champion, Chris Damian, would be forfeiting the title because he was injured and wouldn't be able to defend. What kind of injury he sustained, I'm not sure, but not long after that.
I think it was bruised ego. Pretty sure it was bruised ego.
But he walked in the front door. They had two matches, two triple threat matches, the winners of which would go on to battle for the title in the main event. And he walked in with Chad Silva and another guy I didn't recognize, but you told me off the air he's been described as Potbelly Stone Cold. So the three of them came in the front door, and it was clear that they weren't there for any positive.
They weren't action. There for no taffy pulling, as a wild
they,
man.
They were there to sign autographs and sell T-shirts. They came in with bandanas on, OSWA shirts on.
Oh,
all
shit. They gooned up, Jonathan. They came in gooned up. This was a gang fight. They was ready to go.
That's what they wanted. Thankfully for those in attendance, the two triple threat matches ended up being great matches. Let's see, who was it? Rick Michaels came out on top of the El Zombie Mascaris and Ballinger. I forget his first name. Then Zach Daniels came out on top against Supernatural and Joey Kidman, which of course sets up an interesting scenario because there were two former champions. They are partners in the Reckoning. And the Jagged Edge made his return. We haven't seen him in quite a while at PWR, but he was out with the Reckoning. And so long story short, there was a lot of bloodshed. I forgot about that. Jacob Ashworth.
Yeah.
Was out.
Jacob Ashworth got his clock cleaned a little bit. I'm glad to see that they seem to get him patched up pretty well, which is good.
Yeah, he was part of the impromptu United States match against Kevin Blue and Marco. And then Rick Michaels bled profusely after he took a chair shot of his own design, actually. He set the chair up in the corner and then ended up being his head that went into it. And Zach Daniels, once again, is the PWR champion. And I think even though Rick probably would love to have held that title, I think Chris Damian's probably the least biggest fan of that move.
And all this, reportedly, because he had a title shot somewhere else and would worry how people would react to that if he was advertised as not defending his belt there. Because he left. He left.
Well, I can't say I know. I haven't talked to him or anyone else, but I know what I saw, and it was incredibly unprofessional. And honestly, Joe was very short, just over an hour long, but it was five solid matches that included, some of the better talent in local wrestling.
All that happened in an hour?
Yeah, it started right about 3:45, and I'd say it was over around 5:15 or so.
Shit. Well, could you tell that there was other stuff going on? I mean, could you really Did it feel like that? Did it feel chaotic?
It did when they showed up coming in the front door, yes, because, you know, first people knew who they were, and they weren't trying to be discreet about anything. They came in, and heads turned, and people saw them, and Michael Gentry, the ring announcer, you know, went and talked to them at the front door, and it looked like they were going to work it out, and then he started walking away, and they basically just followed him to the back. I don't think that he was inviting them back. I think they just kind of decided to go back there.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said, honestly, I think PWR is better off. Their next show is going to be at that same venue in August, from what I understand. A date has not yet been announced officially because they have to work through some details because, of course, the Facebook page was deleted and things like that. So,
yeah, I saw that. That's an adult move.
Who would have thought in Georgia wrestling would have come from PWR?
They find a way. When I heard this story first, I said, this better not be a storyline, because this is too good to not be true. And if it is a storyline, then they're the promotion of the year. Shit. Because this thing is out of hand.
Well, we have, we've got a couple of callers that are wanting to say something. I don't know if either of them is our guest, but I will go ahead and announce tonight's guest, which could, well, I'll just announce tonight's guest, or Mark Grayson from Independent Wrestling, but he also has some other things he wants to talk about some new promotions of which I was not aware, but we'll let him just, and then we have the Jagged Edge, who, of course, was part of a bit of controversy with the Empire leaving UIW, making their debut at Peach State this weekend. He's also recently made his return to PCW, Platinum Championship Wrestling, and as always, he's part of Anarchy, so he will have plenty to talk about. But let's see who we got now. Calling George. Now, who's this?
This is Jeter.
Jeter, how are
Joe!
You?
Joe!
I'm all right. I'm a little offended right now, but I'm all right. Now,
imagine you might be, big man. I'd imagine might be. Because
turned out to be a terrible weekend for G, a terrible weekend. But most importantly, I'm a little offended because I'm a real big fan of this show. You mentioned every match on the PWR card except for that the tag team match, in which I do believe, and I believe with my heart of hearts, that me and Brian Blaze were screwed yesterday out of the PWR titles.
Well, I didn't know if you wanted me to mention that, since there are new tag team champions in the Rock and Roll Models.
You can mention it. It's cool, because see, when it all goes down, we were screwed. Period, point blank. Screwed, and I want to tell the whole world, again, I am offended that we were not even mentioned in the rundown of this card. I'm thoroughly upset right now.
Well,
I'd hate to know that with me, John.
I wasn't done giving my report. I'll say that. But amidst all the controversy that took place at that show, I did fail to mention the controversial outcome of that match. So my apologies, Jeter. And I'm sure you'll get another shot sometime in the near future.
Yes. I'm hoping. I'm almost demanding another shot at their title. We deserve another shot at their title, at those titles.
You had some other matches this weekend, I believe. Do you want to talk about those at all?
Yes. This past weekend, I took on the great Bull Buchanan in a match that ended in a double DQ because the referee could not keep his nose out of business.
So has all the right. return been scheduled for that?
Yes, the return has been scheduled, and it will be myself versus Bull Buchanan August 17th in Villarica in a street fight.
That sounds more like it. That sounds
like
about how this should be set.
Yes.
And I'd imagine your manager is pretty happy with that.
Oh, yeah. Jeff is thoroughly happy. I myself am thoroughly happy. Anyone who's known me know I do my best work when I have a free hand to cause destruction.
And then where will you be this weekend, Jeter? I know it's another big weekend for you.
This weekend I will be at, starting off the weekend, I'll be at Progression Pro, famous pub, North Druid Hills. Come watch me and myself and Brian Blaze put a hurt in anyone they sit in front of us. Then I'll be, Saturday night I'll be at Cornelia, Georgia. Now, come back here. I'll be in Cornelia, Georgia.
And yeah, I'll
give myself versus Sean Tempers. I'm going to put another hurting on him, whip him up real nice, become number one contender. And then when I see Jeremy Vane again, he won't be so lucky to escape with the title again.
All right. Well, again, hopefully you accept my apologies for failing to mention your match yesterday at PWR. But again, I'm sure you'll get another shot at those titles, and I wish you luck in that match whenever it does happen.
Thank you, good sir.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
We've got another caller. Let's see who we got now. Thanks for calling, George Wrestling.
Hey, Jonathan, it's Mark.
That's me.
Yes.
Good.
How are you? Good. Good.
So
another
you,
Monday night.
Yeah, another Monday night, a weekend of wrestling controversy.
Always. It's Georgia, it's independent wrestling, and controversy lives and reigns.
We wouldn't have it any other way.
I guess not. No matter where you go, apparently, after listening to the beginning of this.
Yeah.
No matter where you are.
Nope.
We're always going to find you.
You got that right. You got that right. Just like if you were in College Park this Sunday, you'd run into a big wrestling show. East Coast Wrestling Entertainment debuts. Yep.
Now, this is the first time for them, right? This is not like
yep.
some other promotion that's come back to life or anything like this. This is a brand new
promotion, first time promoter. Yep. Done a great job. He's already got close to 200 tickets sold in advance.
Who's responsible for this? Who's behind this one?
His name is Mr. Hollywood.
Hollywood, yep.
You'll find him in the main event, which is the BFFs and Encore Zach Edwards against the Blacklist and Mr. Hollywood. Ooh. All this Sunday in College Park at the Brady Center. Tickets are only $5. Yep.
It's been a long time since anybody's tried anything in that area. So.
Yep. I think he can be really successful. These guys got to put a lot of thought into it. Plan for the inevitable. Plan for running out of money and the whole thing. It's actually been pretty good to listen to them because, you know, there's a million of them. There's actually more than 34, I think there's 35 now promotions in the state running shows. It's insane.
We're trying to get to North Carolina status.
North Carolina?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's 35 in a 35-square-mile radius in North Carolina.
Well, so. There's 35 in Georgia that we know of. I mean, there's probably 70 that are, you know, another 35 that are running that we don't know about.
They run at tax refund time, those shows.
Exactly. Exactly. Or around their birthday when they get their check from their mom.
So, what do you know what else is on this card?
Yes, sir. Got it right in front of me. Dynamite Pegasus versus Gladius from WWA 4. Jonathan Dredd versus Skeletal from WWA 4. I understand Dynamite Pegasus and Gladius, this will be their first real show that they're working.
Outside of what they do.
Outside of WWA 4. Yeah. And then we've got the Outlaws, Axel Ross and Rick Ryan, taking on Atil. How do you say that? Atlian. And Drew Adler.
Atlian,
and Drew Adler teaming up, which ought to be pretty interesting. And then, actually, the show is going to kick off with Frankie Valentine and Stupid.
You know what you're going to get out of that? Know exactly where that's going to go. And there's
Pandora and Devin Nicole are scheduled to be there.
So they're pulling folks from a little here, a little there.
Yeah. Yep. Actually, he's been going to shows. Mr. Hollywood's been going to shows. And first time I ever talked to him, he called me when I started Classic Pro and wanted to come in and work. He's actually been trained by Ted Oates. So we'll see. I haven't ever actually seen him work, but I'm excited about it. Somebody puts enough effort into it to have his own posters made and have already sold close to 200 tickets. Got a second date secured in September.
That's a lot more work than a lot of people do.
Yeah, I'm real proud of him so far. So we'll see. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It's a great spot for wrestling. I'll tell you what, we've run wrestling in the area before and been successful. I hope it just continues.
You've always got something in the pipeline. What else you got?
Well, the best thing that I have right now is the revival of the Georgia Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame and Museum initiative.
Oh, really?
Long time in coming. Going to be an official press release coming soon, but there's going to be a nonprofit. It's in the works right now. A nonprofit is being created. Whole project plan with some marketing pieces, and hopefully we'll get some surveys out. If we can get a substantial number of people that sign surveys and get us going, we will have a legislative partner right now that thinks it's a great idea. I think the proof is in the pudding with the wrestling fans and the wrestling community. If we can prove to them by getting enough signatures that this is a worthwhile endeavor, and the people in the legislature believe that Atlanta, Georgia can make money on it, which I believe they can, then I think it'll really happen.
What is the goal? What is the end product that you're looking for?
The end product in our proposal is the physical building. Georgia Wrestling History's already got their Hall of Fame. Other promotions have their Hall of Fame. This is really an effort that I want to work on to pay wrestling back. I believe that Georgia deserves. If South Carolina has a pro wrestling Hall of Fame, Georgia definitely deserves one. So I've spoken to. It's hard to believe there isn't one. So my effort is really to get the physical building, and no more than that. I'm not the kind of person that knows enough to say who or should or shouldn't be in there. Georgia Wrestling History has already done a great job of putting their Hall of Fame together. Whether that is what they choose, there's a lot more intelligent and knowledgeable people than me to do that. I just think that that deserves to be done. There deserves to be a building, and at that time when it becomes reality, I'm sure there'll be plenty of people that want to have their say so.
And you said this was kind of the rebirth of that, so I imagine people have tried it and it hadn't gone as far as it needed to go.
Well, I kind of got involved in it.
I remember talking about it a few years ago, and my understanding
was
there were too many egos involved or something.
Yeah, and it was really a half-ass attempt by me at the time to really do something. And really the right thing to do is get a nonprofit set up, prove that it's the right thing to do, prove to the legislature that they can make money on it. Because I know people in town to see WWE shows, people coming in town to see Braves games, spending vacations in Atlanta. If they were offered a chance to go to a professional wrestling Hall of Fame, all the people that have come in Georgia, started in Georgia, I just believe in it.
Who all's involved with this with you? Have you talked to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com or any of the people there or anything?
Previously it was a contentious because I was thinking. I did a half-ass attempt of it before, thought that I had some people that were partnering with me. We thought we had might have had more answers than we really had questions. So, no, this is like, at that time, we were very overzealous, thought we could pick out the class and all that. Really, this is just paying back wrestling, just to make sure that we get a building to house the stuff that needs to be in the Hall of Fame and Museum, and then whoever the powers that be, board of directors that get named, they're the people that are in charge of picking out who's actually elected in the Hall of Fame. This is purely a physical building push right now.
Okay.
What do you think was the major pitfall of the last time, and what are you going to do to kind of counteract that this time?
I think I was my own worst enemy at the time, to be honest with you. I jumped in when a couple other people had started it, and then as I got more involved, they became less involved, and then it looks like a one-man band, and I didn't handle it correctly, probably.
And I'd imagine you've got a little more experience on your hand this time. You've been around the game a little bit longer.
Yes, I think so. I think so. And really, this is just something I feel like we all need. Anybody in the business should be able to go somewhere and understand who came before all of us. You know, I really believe that there's a missing element in the guys that are coming up in the business and not recognizing what it was before they showed up on the scene.
Right.
And I owe some people, like Charlie Smith, I owe the Dromo family, who's been inspirational to me in so many ways. I feel like I owe them some payback to get some stuff done.
If you were picking the class, what would you be looking for?
I would go right to... I don't know enough about the very advent of professional wrestling in Georgia to even... You're talking about specific people or
achievement? Not necessarily specific people. No, just like, you know, is it... Are you looking for more of what you've done to help the business in Georgia? Are you looking for guys who started in Georgia, went off to, you know, around the world and became big names? What's the most important thing that you think someone should have to be in the Georgia Hall of Fame?
I think no matter what I say is probably the wrong answer, because so many other people that have been around me before have better answers. I'll worry about the building, you know what I mean? And all those things can be answered by people who are much more knowledgeable about the business. I've only been in the business 4 years, and in reality, it's like an uphill battle through just trying to do what I'm doing outside of this initiative in wrestling. So to pretend that I know anything about all of that, I mean, I have my own opinions, but I'm not an expert, and my opinions don't weigh an ounce compared to other people's opinions of pounds and pounds and pounds.
Do you think that you'll put your efforts into this and maybe not as much trying to run shows or be a part of so many shows while you're trying to get this going?
I've already cut back on shows that I'm working for other people. Classic Pro Wrestling is becoming more of a fundraiser company than a professional wrestling company right now, and working with high schools and other schools, entities, churches and everything to run benefit shows where they make money, we continue what we're trying to do, is probably all we're going to do right now with that. So I'm going to be the first one to tell you is I didn't like putting on the promoter hat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not my favorite thing. Will I do it again? Probably. I mean, there's some people that are asking me to be involved in some things. But to be honest with you, I just got a new grandbaby, and I got a lot of other stuff going on in my life. I've cut down on accepting other bookings around and trying to live a more normal life and have at least one weekend day free. So this is going to take a lot of my time, and I just think it's a natural progression of what I should be doing within the business.
Well, at least you got a plan.
Yeah.
Not everybody has a plan.
We have a project plan. I mean, winter is going to be all – I mean, September, hopefully the nonprofit will be in place. We can start fundraising. People can start making donations to the cause. It'll go into a fund that becomes public record that people can write off on their taxes. Winter becomes marketing. We're going to have a great marketing piece. Commercial to probably be shown during wrestling like I said, the signature collection, and then spring we'll go right into more fundraising and legislation.
And I'd imagine that you are much more comfortable with that than, like I said, being a promoter. That's your comfort zone, isn't it?
Probably. I think my comfort zone is probably more in front of the crowd, being the host of the shows, than anything else. But I really feel strongly that the industry in Georgia deserves this, and I hope a lot of people buy into it. I hope that Rich and everyone involved in Georgia wrestling history buys into it, and we collectively work together to do something good for the business.
And
because I only see it as good for the business, because I'm going to tell you right now, is there's been a lot of funerals of a lot of the old crew in Georgia, and you go to those funerals, and there's no young guys there paying their respects, and it breaks my heart. Because I'm not sure that they don't even, I'm not even sure they know who they are anymore. We get so blinded by our own stardom and what's going on today, and maybe some people don't look beyond 1999 with wrestling or the Attitude Era or whatever, but man, we're missing so much.
I think you're right about it taking a multi-faced attack, because I don't think any one person is going to be strong enough to get it done. It's going to take everybody deciding, yeah, this is worthwhile, let's get behind it.
Well, it's going to take a lot of the promoters to allow representative of the initiative to be at their shows collecting signatures, or buying in enough that they'll get the signatures collected the way that, you know, the way all the legalese says that we're supposed to collect them. So, I mean, that's going to be part of it, is I'll be working on buy-in with the people, because the first people that need to sign these petitions are the fans, the wrestlers, and the promoters, and everybody else that's working the shows. With 34 promotions, I might be able to get 15,000 signatures right off the bat. Just in
you
the locker room.
You find all 34 of them, you'll be great.
And Mark, before we let you go, we have another caller. I think this is still Jeter. Let me make sure. Is that still you, Jeter? If that's not Jeter, who do we have?
Yep.
404. Jeter, how are you?
I'm all right, sir.
Did you have something for Mark?
I just want to. Is there anywhere we can get information on this Georgia Hall of Wrestling Hall of Fame?
Yes, we're putting together a website, and we're going to have, as soon as the nonprofit is documentation is all done and all the legalese is put together, then we're going to release the press release, and then the website will be released, and there'll be marketing information for people to download, workers to take to shows, the whole thing. So we'll be able to share it online, social media, the whole thing.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
As far as the induction process would go, I know you said you haven't gotten that far yet, but do you think you would, or this Hall of Fame would consider the current Georgia Wrestling History Hall of Fame, you know, maybe just kind of segueing some of that in, or do you know how that would work?
I think this is like creating something out of nothing right now. I would hope that what the work that's already been done with Georgia wrestling history is held under consideration. But you also have to consider, I mean, I think that everything that they've done is great and probably spot on. I don't know enough now to say yes or no, but we'd be foolish not to look, or whoever's in charge at that time, it would be foolish not to look at something that's already been created. The big bucks, though, come from an induction class every year, bringing people in to be part of that, yada, yada, yada. So how that all works down the line needs to be, you know, that's for other people that are smarter than me. And I'm hoping that Georgia Wrestling History buys on, maybe somebody from there becomes part of the board of directors of this whole thing, and it evolves into a humongous joint effort where we actually prove that people within this industry can work together to accomplish something good for the business together.
All right. Well, it sounds like a great idea. And I hope the same thing. I hope everyone's able to work together, because, like I said before, I think what I heard from what when there were talks of doing this a few years ago, was there were just too many egos involved and it just kind of fizzled out. I don't know all the details, but
right.
It definitely is something that I'd like to see.
I think it's a long time coming. I've talked to the people with the Hall of Fame in New York, which was solely initiated by fan base to get them a wrestling Hall of Fame. So I'm sort of having talked to them. I've sort of, you know, mapped out a little bit following their milestones on their project plan and stuff, have an idea of what to expect and where to go. Coming up with the money to potentially hire someone to have to do lobbying or something like that. I mean, all that stuff is down the line. It becomes a big money thing eventually for whatever municipality gets it and charges admission and tax on the admission and yada, yada, yada. But I think it's also a great boon for someone like Charlie Smith who can go there and actually share the history with people as they walk through the museum, Hall of Fame.
Right. Well, before we let you go, of course, you are a ring announcer at UIW.
Yep.
I was not at the show this Saturday, but is there anything you want to report from that or maybe talk about for the next show?
It was a good show, better than I expected. We had some of our, I would say, trainees working for the first time. You know, people don't really know that. UIW's actually had some trainees working, more coming, but I mean, referee Sammy Lightning and Eli Daniel started out as a trainee at UIW, and they had great matches. Jeter and Bull Buchanan, I mean, that was a great match. Fans loved the Washington Bullets and the Hot Commodity, though. I mean, when I walked away, fans were telling me that the tag team match was the best match of the night. The new UIW United States Heavyweight Championship went to Josh Storm, who wrestled under a mask. I'm sorry, I got another phone call coming through my ear. He was under a mask, and he and Frankie Valentine were the last people in the ring, and Josh beat Frankie and revealed himself, as it were, at the end, as he became officially part of the So Fine Mafia now.
All right, and then when is the next UIW show?
August 3rd, Villa Rica.
Okay.
Yep.
You got anything else going on in the near future?
Man, I've always got something going on, but nothing else worth reporting right now.
All right. Well, I guess we will let you go and get ready for our next guest, but we're going to take a quick commercial break. So thanks for calling, Mark, and good luck
with
all that.
Thanks for the opportunity. Thank you,
yeah,
guys.
No problem.
Take care. Bye.
You too. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we will be talking to the Jagged Edge.
Wrestling fans, Anarchy Wrestling television tapings are the second and fourth Saturdays of every month at 4236 Level Grove Road in Cornelia, Georgia. For more information on Anarchy Wrestling and on the shows to watch the television product and a whole lot more, go to anarchy-wrestling.net. That's Anarchy Wrestling, the second and fourth Saturdays of every month in Cornelia, Georgia.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
Whether you're having an autograph session, personal appearance, or live event, we got just the person you need to contact for all of those needs. SBI Bookings is home of some of the best stars in the wrestling industry today. They provide you with the best talent this business has to offer, from Kevin Nash, Larry Zbysko, Scott Steiner, and many, many more. So who will you contact next time you're planning an event? The men of SBI Bookings. Check them out at sbibookings.com.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? where you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first party you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com with Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins. And I would like to remind everyone to, starting at midnight tonight, go to clatl.com/bestofATL and vote for WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, Georgia Wrestling Now, and any wrestling promotion you can think of in whichever category it fits into. We're supposed to be talking to the Jagged Edge right now. Normally he calls in repeatedly when he's not scheduled, but he's scheduled tonight and hasn't called in yet. We do still have Jeter, though,
Edge.
So. What about the Jagged
Edge?
Jagged Edge,
he may be slightly predisposed at the moment, but I would imagine what he was calling to talk about was going to be to tout the big coup that went on in Carrollton, Georgia this weekend, as, you know, we have discussed at length here and everywhere else in our wrestling sphere, this war between one company in West Georgia and Peach State in West Georgia, and it was a pretty big deal when the Empire showed up unannounced through the back door and decimated Stitch Cypher and the Frenchman Romeo. It was not to be expected, and It was a hell of a beating, that is for damn sure, and they have not made their sort of plans known just yet. But that's what I would imagine Jagged Edge was called to talk about.
Yeah, I would guess so. I ran into him at the PWR show yesterday, and he asked if he could call in, and I'm not one to say no to him in many instances. So,
good idea.
He was a busy man this weekend. I believe he was also at PCW. He was at PWR. I don't know if he did anything on Friday, but I guess if he gets a chance to call, we will still talk to him. But we do have Jeter. 2 weeks in a row, Jeter has bailed us out. So let's talk to Jeter.
Yes, sir, gentlemen.
So were you in Porterdale on Saturday as well, Jeter?
No, I wasn't. I was not in Porterdale. I heard of the interesting events they had that took place on Saturday.
I have not yet heard of any report from that show. Were you there, Matt?
I was there for a time. I did see Johnny Danger get his ass whipped. Whew.
Well, that's not the first time that's happened.
Well, this one was a little worse because it was at the hands of the big man Silas Cross, under the expert tutelage of one Jeff Bailey and the watchful eye of Black Chair Brigade. I don't believe we're going to see Johnny Danger in action anytime soon, as he got stretchered out after taking a beating for a while, and then a massive World's Strongest Slam, and then Cross was not done by any stretch of the imagination, as he called on an old friend for a little inspiration and gave him the shotgun forearm right to the jaw as Johnny was trying to make his way back up. And it looks like we might have seen the end of Johnny Danger for a little while.
Well,
it was brutal.
Johnny Danger does have quite a bit of heart, which may explain why he was wrestling the next day. But we shall see. You know, maybe he had a concussion or something and just wasn't feeling the full effects.
you might call it foolishness rather than heart, because
yeah, I mean, he has been known to straddle that line a little bit.
But big man, you were also backstage at PWR yesterday. Do you have a take on the situation?
To be quite honest, to be completely and quite honest with you, I'm there preparing for my match. I look up, half the locker room's gone. It didn't pertain to me, my business, or what I was there for. I continue doing what I had to do.
So is there truth to the rumor that some of it was spurred on because there was so much anarchy representation in the locker room?
Again, it did not pertain to Jeter or what Jeter was there for. Therefore, Jeter has no opinion on it, therefore, whatsoever.
Nobody ever falls for my tricks. Nobody ever bites when I'm dangling the carrot.
I mean, I will say this, though. What I do find to be completely unreasonable is that everyone was there for a PWR show. So why is it that the business of other shows are making its way into a PWR show and locker room? That's the part I didn't understand.
Exactly. And I think anyone can agree that in our state of wrestling, everybody works everywhere, and things get heated at times between different places. It happens. And nowhere is it more heated between OSWA and Anarchy. I don't think I'm breaking any news to say that. But like you just said, that was their show. It was a big show. And it was a show that went off after they had gone through a thing not long ago. And to bring it in there, it's just bad business. Long story short.
And I do agree with that completely and wholeheartedly. And to be honest with you, I still don't see what the big deal is with between Anarchy and OSWA, or I'm not familiar with the other promotion. I just don't see what the big deal is. And it's like, we all here for a common purpose, and that's professional wrestling, to keep the sport alive, to keep help reinvent the sport. And it's like, every time I turn around, you hear some unnecessariness between this promotion and that promotion, this promotion and that promotion. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, if you set your personal ideals to the side, we're here for professional wrestling. Let's keep that in mind. Let's keep the sport alive.
And you've gone out of your way to keep your nose clean, which, you know, I don't think many people are going to pop off at the mouth to you anyways. But you do. Is that something I don't want to say worry about, but at least are conscious of? Is you do you try to stay above the fray in that regard?
I intentionally keep myself distanced from all the negativity, because that's just who I am. I'm not one for having my name in the middle of a bunch of unnecessary noise. And again, when I got into professional wrestling because I loved the sport. You know, I remember having a schedule mapped out as a kid. You had Raw and WCW on Monday, local wrestling on Tuesday, local wrestling and ECW on Tuesday. You had WCW on Wednesday, SmackDown on Thursday. On Friday, you had more local wrestling. Saturday, you had the WCW and more local. So I got into it for the sport for the love of it. So I'm not finna put myself in the middle of the foolishness that comes around because people have egos and nobody wants their egos bruised.
Well, I couldn't said it better myself, Jeter.
You just play it up to Jeter because he's mad at you.
I don't think he's really mad at me.
I would have done the same thing. But, I mean, as far as people who are doing things right now, your name is getting pretty warm, Mr. Jeter. Is that something that you feel, or are you just rocking and rolling?
I feel I've been approached. I've had different people that wouldn't take a second look at me a year and a half ago. Now they're like, okay, we like what you're doing. I guess to answer the question, yes, I feel it. And for the most part right now, I'm just having fun. I'm just completely having fun with it.
And I know from watching you for a while, there's a lot of things that you would like to be in there doing, just from a physical standpoint, that maybe people gave you advice not to do. How did that go over with you?
Oh, say it again, I'm sorry.
Like, I know that you want, if you had a perfect world, you'd get in there and you'd just wrestle. You know, you'd be flying all over the place, you'd chain, you'd do whatever you could do that you think you physically could do. But I would imagine that people have told you that's not what a man your size should be doing.
You're right. I've heard that from day one, since the first practice I ever went to at Sam Stone Studios. A man your size does not chain. A man your size does not fly. You are to be the big man in the company, and that's what I've been told. And from my learning experiences, people are right, because it shows, because it has worked for so many years before me. But in that same note, I can't deny who I am and not add just a little bit of me into the situation.
Right.
Jeter, I was just going to say, let's talk about where you're going to be this weekend. You mentioned earlier Progression Pro. Do you know who you're going to be wrestling there on Friday?
At this time, I don't really know. Honestly, don't really care. It's pretty much the same outcome. I go in, I excite, I electrify to steal one from the Rock, put on a good match, and 9 times out of 10, I leave with my opponent in a bloody heat. So it doesn't really matter to me, and no, I do not know.
I believe that Cody Hall will be down there. He's a big man.
Yeah, Cody Hall's a big man. He's a good guy. I wouldn't mind stepping in and tangling around with him for a little while. Seems like that would be a lot of fun.
And I would imagine you see a lot of things in Cody that you probably saw at yourself when you were at his stage.
Honestly, yeah, I really do. Wish I had the Hall name, though, but yeah.
It's not bad, is it?
Who knows? It's never bad to have Hall as your last name. But from what I have seen, he takes it serious, and he's here to do the Hall name proud. And as far as what I see him, I honestly do believe, outside of his last name being Hall, I do believe he will make his own impression on the wrestling world.
Where you made your first impression, as you mentioned, Sam Stone was at PCW, and here we are right in the middle of tag team season time. What do you think about who you're in there with this time? Who are the opponents that you're looking at saying, you know, we got to strap it on when it's these guys?
Honestly, of course, always the Bullets, talented guys. I always end up with some great matches with those guys. To be quite honest, you do have Dodge Gift to wrestle. Those guys come to fight. Whenever they do step in between the rings, they do come to fight. Had a very good match with the Movement. That being the quote-unquote original Movement. Had a good match with those guys.
We call them the North Georgia Movement.
The North Georgia Movement. Had a pretty good match with those guys. As we said last time, I tried to snap his leg off.
Jeter, I have to point out that when Matt was setting up that question, he failed to mention that you are half of the defending PCW Tag Team Season Champions.
Why didn't he get it?
Why are you throwing me under the bus?
I got in trouble for forgetting to mention his tag team title loss last night. I didn't think he'd want to bring it up.
That goes without saying. I stood up and cheered when they won that match because I felt like they deserved it, and I was glad to see it.
You damn right we deserved it. Worked our asses off to get that.
You did. And I think you're bearing the fruit from all that work now because you are squarely in the Anarchy title hunt. Is that something that even 6 months ago that you thought you'd be saying?
Honestly, no. I honestly did not. I knew that when I came in, I was brought in to, of course, do what I did, and that was put Michael Judas out. I laid him on the shelf, which I thought I did a pretty good job of, but apparently I didn't get the job done. I didn't think, I honestly didn't think I would be within that title hunt at all.
And this Saturday, you're facing Sean Tempers, who held that title for quite a while. Is this for a number one contendership, right?
That is correct.
So have you actually ever wrestled Sean one-on-one before?
Actually, yes. My very first number one contenders match at Anarchy was against Sean Tempers. Great match. I put a whooping on him then. I'm going to proceed to do the same thing again this Saturday.
And there has been a little back and forth. You know, maybe Judas is in the ring and you get involved. Maybe you're in the ring. He gets involved. What happens if he gets involved in that match this week?
Well, the way I understand it, no one's allowed at the ringside. But just in case Michael Judas decides he wants to make himself felt a known presence, you can expect G to do what he does best. You can expect G to do what he does best. That's hurt people. I put Michael out once before. I will do it again. This time, I will make sure the job gets done.
And I'm sure you're above going after any specific injured part that he may already have, right? You wouldn't do that.
I don't know. I would like to say that I am, but then again, I'm the bad guy. That's what I do.
And you have kind of always been the bad guy, I guess, haven't you?
Not necessarily. I had my moments. I had my moment when I first started out. I tried to be for the people, just to follow the rules. But, again, I had a true and tried conversation with my tag team partner, Brian Blaze, and Nemesis that let me see the light, if you will.
Well, it seems to have worked for you for the most part. I guess I would say keep up the rule breaking.
You do what you got to do.
Oh yes,
all right,
most definitely.
Well, we've come to the end of our show, Jeter. Is there anything else you want to mention? Anywhere else you're going to be in the next week or two?
Like I said, just Progression Pro on Friday, Anarchy on Saturday. And I think if I have a chance, I'm going to go down and see the show in College Park with Mr. Hollywood and the BFFs.
All right. Well, we appreciate you calling in and filling in for the Jagged Edge. I'm not sure where he is, but I'm sure we will hear from him in the near future. What else do we got going on this weekend, Matt? I know WWE is at Phillips Arena for a WWE Live house show. TNA will be in Columbus the same night, Friday. What else is there? Deep Southern Championship Wrestling?
I'm not 100% sure on that one. I know they just voted it down, and our good luck wore off, Jonathan, as the good
what
old
happened?
Boys took out the movement. And they are your new AIWF Southern States champion. So we did not do the movement any favors.
Well, I guess we didn't do Jeter any favors either. So, but I think Strychnine did win his match on Friday night, even though he didn't call in last week.
He knew bad luck was coming.
Well, I can't think of any others at the moment this weekend, but we will be back next Monday at 7. I'm not sure who we'll be talking to yet. And once again, please go to clatl.com/bestofATL. Vote for Wrestling with Pop Culture, Georgia Wrestling Now. Vote for Jeter. I'm sure there's a best athlete or something to that effect. Yeah, so that's it, I guess. We will be back next Monday, and thanks again to Jeter and to Mark Grayson.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.